Hey guys, it's Rebecca. Join us this week for our final installment of the Unloving Mind. God is wanting to heal our mindsets from crisis mode and bring us into a place of the renewed mind, according to Romans 12. We need to remember that our past victories inform future faith. God is healing false finish lines and false foundations so that we can have the mind of Christ. We hope you enjoyed this week's message.
God's good, amen? Yeah. Why do preachers always say something and then say amen after that as if there's a question mark every time? You ever wonder about that? We just make stuff up sometimes. You get the microphone and you just make stuff up. I'm going to do it to y'all one day. Make stuff up. Just give you the microphone and let you make it up. We all do it. We all do it. We have these little idiosyncrasies that we have to do that make us, whatever. My wife dared me that I wouldn't do a liturgical dance for you all today. And so some of y'all don't know what a liturgical dance is. How many of you was ever on a drama team back in the day, right? Yeah, you was back on a drama team and you would bust out with some "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever," they're not getting it on social media. I'm going to stop. She did get it. She told me I wouldn't do it. We just made up stuff. We made up stuff and acted like we knew sign language back in the day. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody part of those teams? We did. We made it up. You know how I know it was made up? Because sometimes I was part of making it up. That's what I'm saying. We just made stuff up. Talking about now, behold the Lamb. That is. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 16. Now that y'all think I'm an idiot, it's okay. Matthew 16. We're going to end up there in just a moment. We've been talking, this would be our last message on the leavened mind. How you go from God so loved the world and then start talking about the leavened mind here in just a minute. I am convinced that the Lord is healing thought processes and mindsets. And what happens a lot of times, And what I think we see in Scripture, specifically in Mark chapter 8, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, they're in the boat. He's just fed probably 20,000 people with some loaves and fish. And he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And they're like, "Oh my goodness, we forgot to bring bread." And Jesus is like, How is it that you don't understand? He actually literally says, How is it that you don't understand that I'm not talking about bread? And a lot of times, what happens is we get so stuck in the natural that we actually miss what he's talking about. And when God operates, it's really, really important for us to understand every time he operates, he always operates from the spiritual to affect the natural. You know how you can know the difference between God and the enemy speaking? God works from the spiritual and affects the natural. The enemy always, always starts in the natural and attempts to affect the spiritual. Every time. And so he's talking to them about a mindset. And I'm going to talk to you about that for a little while. We've gone through this journey, and you can go check out the podcast if you've missed one of these. But today, specifically, I want to talk to you about the four things that I've been mentioning weekly that we have to adjust if we're really going to change our minds, okay? A couple of weeks ago when I spoke, we went really, really deep, and we were talking about parts of our brain that filter things that we hear and the way that we respond. And what happens is that when you continue to think on one thing, you actually create neural pathways in your brain. And so then what happens is you begin to filter everything from that neural pathway. Are you okay with that? You ever been around that person that it doesn't matter how good of a day you're having, they can find out some way to be a vacuum and just suck out the joy? Nobody, y'all have never been? Some of y'all can't say anything because y'all live with that person. Just play it a little bit. So I really believe that God's healing thought patterns today, and he's shifting believers from a performance-driven mentality. Listen, when Jesus talked to them about the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, they immediately thought, "Oh, we forgot bread. And if you read Matthew's account, they actually thought that he was scolding them for not bringing bread, okay? And so there are several things that happen in the natural, in our thought process, that keep us bound, really, and cause us to think certain ways. And of course, fear I heard somebody say the other day, this is a beautiful definition, too, of anxiety. Do you know what anxiety is? It's wasting present energy on a future outcome that you expect to be undesirable. I want you to think about that. That anxiety is wasting present energy on a future outcome that you expect to be undesirable. Anybody done that? I know I have. And so I believe that the Lord is doing some things. He's healing us from the danger of a performance mentality. He's moving us from this idea of circumstantial Christianity. Guys, listen, the circumstantial Christian life is the hardest one to live. That's the one that where your faith and your peace and your joy are always, always affected by what's in front of you. The circumstantial Christian life is the hardest one to live because I'm up when things are good and I'm down when things are bad. I know that he loves me when everything's rocking, and I'm questioning, is he even around when it doesn't go exactly like I want it to go? And so I'm telling you, the circumstantial Christian life is the most difficult one to live. And so we see that Jesus is able to rest in his identity as a son when he encounters the enemy. We see that. And so what he's doing with the disciples is he's trying to heal mindsets. He's trying to heal mindsets. I said this a few weeks ago, and so I just want to say this again. I believe that prayer and devotion is the most difficult thing. It's the most difficult aspect of the Christian life. Why? Because the enemy understands how powerful it is, okay? And I want to give you just three really quick reasons why we struggle in prayer. Is that okay? I said it a few weeks ago, but get this. One of the main reasons that we struggle in prayer is that we don't want to have conversations with someone that we continue to say no to. We don't want to talk to someone who's asking us to do something, but we continue to tell them no, okay? Number two, another reason we hesitate to pray is because we have a core belief that God's disappointed in us. Nobody wants to talk to someone that we believe is just consistently disappointed. I want to help you today. God is not disappointed in you. And if you have had a thought process that because you messed up yesterday or last night or an hour ago that God is disappointed in you, I want you to understand that he is not disappointed in you, and he just longs to have conversation with you. He just wants to talk to you. And the third reason we struggle to pray is because we don't actually believe who we are in Christ, okay? And what happens is we create these thought processes, we create these mindsets that affect the way that we approach the Father, okay? And so this is what we've been talking about for a long time, and so I want to give you four things today. Really quick, and I'm serious, I'm going to be quick today. I want to give you four things that I believe that will help us in changing our mind, okay? I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would rest in this place and that you would come and transform our minds. God, that you would give us a grace to live from the place of the renewed mind. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Number one, if we're going to change the way that we think and we're really going to move into what it is that God is asking us to do, we're going to have to break free from a survival mentality. Or let me say it this way, living life in a crisis mode. We have to break free from that thought process. Remember what I said. When you continue to think a certain way, it literally creates a neural pathway in your brain, and you begin to filter everything that you hear, everything that you experience from those pathways that you create, right? And so Jesus, in talking to the disciples, is telling them, I need you to beware of the leaven of Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. He's saying, because you know what leaven is, yeast, right? When it gets in a lump, it affects the whole thing. He says, if you listen to their thought process, if you allow their thought process to dominate you, it will affect everything that you do. And they're so into this performance mentality. They're so into fear. They're so into all these things that we just talked about. And so what happens is we get into, as Christians, a survival mentality, or we live in a crisis mode. And do you know what the root of those things are? It's rooted in fear, scarcity, and self-preservation. And here's what happens. It makes us reactive instead of proactive. And I want to show you today in Matthew 16, a very familiar scripture, verse 18. I want to show you that as a prophetic people, as a people who are leaning into the things of the Holy Spirit, who are leaning into his voice, and like Paul says, attempting to be moved by the gentle impulses of the Holy Spirit, that we actually can live in a place where we are proactive and not reactive, okay? Listen, when I played sports, it didn't matter what sport it was. Offense is what I wanted to do. Defense was for other people. Offense is what I wanted to do. I wanted to score. It didn't matter if I was playing basketball, football. I had to be the center so that I could touch the ball. If I was playing basketball, I never saw a shot I didn't like. I mean, every time I touch the ball, I'm letting it fly every single time because offense is what I love. Some of y'all played with me, and you know I'm telling the truth. Like, every time I touch the ball, it didn't matter where I was on the court either. I'm letting it fly. And so what I want to tell you is that as the body of Christ, I think sometimes what happens is we sit back and we allow the enemy to beat our brains in, expecting that we'll react and maybe we'll move if he throws a punch. And I want to tell you that Jesus actually gives us instruction, and the wording that he uses specifically in Matthew 16, 18 is an offensive word so that we don't have to be reactive. We can actually be proactive. Is that okay? All right, so as a prophetic people, we have to be equipped with an offensive mindset, not just defense. Watch this. Being proactive in life and spiritual pursuits does not mean that I'm simply planning for problems. That is an incorrect mindset. What it means is that I am equipped to bring solutions. I'm equipped to bring a solution to the scenario, okay? And so the power of being able to live from Christ's perspective and his mindset. Matthew 16, 18. Let's look at this. It's a very familiar scripture. Jesus has just asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter stands up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says this to them, "I, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it." Now, I want you to listen to this. Jesus is using really interesting language, okay? I love this scripture. First of all, when he says, "I will build my church," he's using familial language. He's actually talking about building a family, and the word church does not mean just gathering or assembly. It actually means a governmental assembly, okay? It's the word ecclesia. And for many of you, you've heard me teach on this. It makes a lot of sense for King James to translate ecclesia into church, where we think of a gathering body. I want you to think about that. If you're a king, you're running a kingdom, it makes a whole lot more sense to say, okay, they can gather, but we're not going to talk about them being a governmental body, okay? But Jesus is establishing something right here in Matthew chapter 16 of building a governmental family, okay? And then he says this. He says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," or the gates of Hades. Here's what's interesting. When you read that scripture, what does it make you think? Who does it make you think is on the offensive? The gates of hell will not prevail against you. It makes me think that the gates of hell are the one on the offense. But that's not the language that Jesus is using. First of all, I want you to think about this. Gates don't move. There's only one other place in Scripture where gates move. And you know how they moved? Samson picked them up and moved them outside the city. Gates do not move. One of the things that I want to tell us today in our thoughts and our minds is we have this elevated opinion of the enemy, and we have an elevated opinion that makes us believe that it's God and he's fighting the devil and they're kind of co-equals, evil and good and all that stuff. And I want to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. The enemy is not just the evil counterpart of God. Jesus said this. He said, "I saw him fall like lightning from heaven." I believe the context was, I saw that Joker fall like lightning from heaven. He is nothing to us. And so I want us to begin to think, one of the things I want us to begin to transform in our mind is that we actually do have the authority. And according to Paul in Romans chapter 8, we actually have been made more than conquerors. That word means that we have surpassing victory. And so Jesus says this. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I love this conversation because it shows us the humanity of Peter. I love it. Briston Carr, I'm so glad that y'all are here. I love you too. I just saw that. And I started going, didn't even saying, I love it when y'all are here. They're family. I love it. But he says this. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. He's talking to Peter, okay? And I love the humanity of this verse and this whole little thing right here. Why do I love it? Because for a moment, Peter gets it right. Mouthy old Peter, cussing Peter. The one who in just a little while is going to cuss out a little girl and say, I didn't even know Jesus. That's the one that is talking right here, quoting Peter. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I say quoting Peter. It's not cussing if you're quoting, right? That's what I heard somebody tell me one time. So anyway, Peter is the one that says, you are the Son of the living God. It's as if the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends. I guarantee you that his right hand started shaking when he said it too. You know you're anointed if your right hand starts shaking. He said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Bar-Jonah, but my Father in heaven. And I say that you are Peter. He changes his name right here. He changes his identity, right? He says, I say you are Peter the rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. Now listen, it's really important to understand. He's not saying just upon Peter. He's saying on the confession of you knowing who I am, on you understanding who I am, I can work with this and I can build my church, okay? The humanity is this, though. Jesus then begins to say, the humanity of Peter, Jesus then begins to say, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, hold up, no, you're not. You just told me I'm the rock and you're going to build your church on me. And so that's not going to happen. And so Jesus then says, get behind me, Satan. So he had like 14 names in this conversation. He was Cephas when he started. Then he was Peter the Rock. Now he's Satan. And we're trying to figure out what's going on. But Jesus says something when he says, the gates of hell will not prevail. Okay? Here's what I want you to say. I want you to remember what I said. First of all, gates don't move. Number two, the Greek word that Jesus uses right here, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it, okay? That Greek word for prevail is an offensive term. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, Peter, upon you knowing who I really am, you do not have to sit back and wait for the enemy to come after you. Why is that significant? Because in this same conversation, Jesus tells Peter in Luke's account, he says this. He says, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. When you come back to me, I want you to strengthen your brethren. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, there is something coming, and if you sit back and you just wait, it will overtake you. But when you come back, when you take the offensive step and you actually start coming back to me, there's a lot in that. First of all, Jesus wasn't afraid of Peter's failure. That's so good. He wasn't afraid of Peter's failure because he knew what he was about to accomplish at the cross. Okay, so that's so powerful. But the other thing is he knew that Peter was going to begin to move into an offensive mindset. And what happens is we get our brains beat in by the enemy because we sit back and we wait for that punch to come. And what happens is when we have a mindset that expects for the worst to happen, when we have a mindset that expects that he's going to be disappointed in me, when we have a mindset that expects that I'm probably going to miss it, we sit back and become defensive, and then we're trying to catch the blows that are coming. And Jesus said, if you can get this right, if you can see who I am and you can see who I am correctly, then I can work with anything. You don't even have to get the next step right, Peter, because guess what? He blew it. He wanted to protect Jesus, and it was the will of the Father that Jesus go to the cross. And so he is letting Peter know, if you can get in an offensive Mindset. Listen, I used to say this. I coached football for a long time. I've done a lot of coaching in my life, different sports. I've been a pastor for a long time, and so I do a lot of coaching in that as well, and in music. And one of the things that I teach everybody is this: if you're going to do it wrong, do it with all of your might. I'm serious. If you're going to do it wrong, at least give me 100% effort in doing it wrong. Because even if you trip, maybe you'll get in somebody's way and block them in football specifically, okay? If you make the wrong step, maybe you'll at least trip and get in somebody's way. If you're going to do it wrong, do it completely wrong. I was telling somebody the other day, I think it was Josh, maybe I was telling Josh and Heather about my junior year in high school. I mean, you know, I was in decent shape. I was in the weight room all the time, and I was in decent shape. And there was this dude that played for Eastern. His name was Rondell Wiley. I'll never forget him. He was a mountain of a man in high school. And I'm talking about like 6'4", 6'5", 275, 280 in high school with a full beard. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so my junior year, we're playing Eastern, and something had happened. And, I mean, he wore me out in wrestling. He wore me out in throwing shot put. I mean, he was just that dude, okay? And we're playing football, and I'm playing offensive tackle as a junior. I played center as a senior. But I'm offensive tackle, and somehow the play moves down the field, and I just enjoy contact. I just like hitting people, right? I just enjoy it. I can't help it. That's how I was built. And so the play moves down the field, and I turn around, and I see here comes big Rondell Wiley. He just jogging down, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get him now. I'm going to get him. This is what I'm talking about. If you're going to do it all out, even if you do it wrong, okay? Let me tell you the end of the story. I did it totally wrong. So I turn around, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get him. I wind up, boom, I hit him, and I fell. I'm talking about I fell straight to my knees. And he looked at me and said, you're too little, and just ran up field. I was like, yes, sir, I am. Here's what I want to tell you. When we sit back and just allow it, at least I got in his way. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't get to the play. Thank you, baby. I got this stuttering thing that comes on me. Did y'all hear about the stuttering Bible salesman? He was the top salesman in all of the company. Why? Because he would go and he would ask people because he had a really bad stuttering problem. And obviously, I do that too. And that happens more when I get under the anointing. You would think it would be healed, but when I preach, I stutter even more. And so he would go to the door and he would ask him, do you want to buy a Bible? And he would stutter. And his next question, he wouldn't even let him answer. He said, or do you want me to read it to you? And so they would be like, yeah, I'll buy it right now. I'll buy it right now. Top Bible salesman around. And so if you stutter and that offends you, I'm sorry, because I stutter really bad and it didn't offend me. So if you're going to do it with all of your might. And Jesus says this. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail. This phrasing is offensive, okay? And we have to get to this place that we understand that what Jesus is saying is your mindset, the way that you believe, and what you are trying to do, at some point it has to move forward. It has to move forward. Anything that is stagnant is dead. I want you to hear me. Anything that is not moving, anything that is stagnant is dead. And so Jesus is saying, you can get on the offense and you can overcome an obstacle, defeating an opponent or winning the struggle, just like you do in sports or any other thing. But what happens is we become so defensive-minded that we sit back, and here's why. Most of the time, we don't know what the next move is. And if we don't feel like we have the next move completely figured out, our brains are built for safety. Our brains are built for safety. And so there's one or two things that happens. It's either a fight or a flight that happens. And what Jesus is telling us is, listen, I'm giving you the ability. This is the same scripture where he says, anything that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And anything that you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. He's giving us all of this offensive language so that we don't have to sit back and just take every punch that comes from the enemy. Because we, oh man, remember in John chapter 16 when Jesus says, listen, I've told you about persecution that's coming. I've told you about the Holy Spirit that's coming. I've told you all of these different things. And then he says this, be courageous. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And if we're going to have a mindset that actually moves into abundance, which is what the Lord is speaking to us about this year, worship and abundance, we're going to have to believe that we can actually do something offensive. I get so wore out. There used to be a lady that my dad pastored in Harlan County. And she would come, and he would ask her how she's doing, and she'd say, well, I'm trying to get a cold. And my dad, he wasn't nearly as sarcastic as other people in my family. I'm talking about me. And other people in my family. But he finally, one day, he looked at me and he said, well, stop trying. Stop trying to get a cold. This is what happens, though, in our minds. We sit back and we think we have to take it. Why? Because we don't know who we are. We don't know the authority that we walk in. We've created this neural pathway in our brain that because we failed, he must not be giving me a measure of authority today, or he must not be allowing me to operate as a son today. Guys, my kids do goofy things all the time, and they never stop being a bane. Do you understand what I'm saying? They always are in my name. They can always do things in my name. And what Jesus is trying to let them know is, look, Peter, you're going to blow it. In like 5 minutes after I tell you all this stuff, you're going to blow it. And then you're going to blow it again because you're going to deny me. But that's okay. I'm actually giving you the keys to the kingdom. And we see that what happens is when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on Peter later in the book of Acts, he's standing before the Sanhedrin and they're telling him, listen, don't preach anymore. I don't want you to say anything. And Peter says this, oh, cool, you don't want me to preach anymore. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to pray for me so that I'll be even more bold to declare the word of the Lord. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit brought something to the inside of Peter that changed the way that he thinks and caused him to move into something that was offensive. So much so that his shadow eventually started healing people. Come on, man. What if we could live in a place where we actually move into this offensive mindset and we're being proactive, taking ground for the kingdom, taking ground for what God is asking us to do instead of sitting back and allowing the enemy to beat our brains in? That's ultimately what Jesus was doing, was discipling the disciples' mindset around telling them, don't get caught up with the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herod. He's saying that religious and political thing right there, don't do that because they're missing the whole thing. But know me. Know who I am. Are y'all okay? Okay. The other thing that happens when we live in crisis mode is we're circumstance-driven and we get fixated on temporary needs instead of eternal realities. We get fixated on things that we think are causing us to drown in the 2-foot pool when all we have to do is stand up. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen that picture where somebody's flailing and they're like, I can't swim. They're in 2 foot of water. You're like, just stand up. What happens is when we live in crisis mode and we have these thought processes and mindsets that are not renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're flailing around in life and all we have to do is stand. Isn't that what Paul said? Having done all to stand, what? Stand, therefore, and put on the full armor of God. So we have this ability to do that. And how do we do that? Chapter 12, verse 2, Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. You probably know that scripture like this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is an offensive mentality for us to wake up every day and say, today I will renew my mind. Today I will allow the power of the Holy Spirit to influence the way that I think. And when that neural pathway tries to fire and tries to make me think a way that is contrary to the Word of God, I will declare that I will stand and I will declare the works of the Lord. Okay. So number one, don't live in a survival mentality or life of crisis. Number two, and I gotta hurry. God's principles are his automations. You have to learn, and you have to get a hold of the fact that God's principles are his automations. I thought today that if we really needed some, I literally have 45 scriptures, and that's not even all of them, but I have 45 scriptures that I could read that are if and then promises from God. If you do this, then, but I'm only going to give you a couple. We know one in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, right? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Listen, I've told you before, sometimes I read scripture backwards. And so here's what I know. If we are not happy with where we see our land, we have the responsibility, because it's a principle that becomes an automation. If my people who are called by my name will post more on Facebook and complain more, then I will heal it. No. If they'll make a brand new TikTok that has them doing a liturgical dance like we were doing a while ago, then I will heal. No. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I will hear them. I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It's an automation that happens when we enact the principle. Are you with me? Resist the devil and he will flee. We like it, but what's the principle? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. We have to get our mind right about these things. We can't resist the thing that we're still pulling on. I can't get no help in here. But if I'm trying to resist the very thing that I'm going to pick up the phone and try to call again to help me in my time of trouble, no, submit yourself to God, then resist that thing, and it must flee. Are you with me? It's a principle that turns into an automation. And so there's tons of those in Scripture. And what has to happen is, if we're going to break free from this performance mentality and we're going to break free from mindsets that are contrary to what the Lord is doing, we're going to have to begin to believe that his principles are automations. They actually put things into motion in my life. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Number three. I got to get past this whole table. 45 scriptures for that right there. Number three, this is good. I want you to repeat this after me. Past victories inform my future faith. Say it again. Past victories inform my future faith. What does that mean? I actually can remember the testimony of the Lord in my life, and it empowers my faith moving forward. God, I don't know how you're going to get me out of this situation. I don't know how you're going to move me past to the next level. But I remember when I thought that back here and you came through. I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I remember when we were crying out to you because our kids were sick, when we didn't have insurance, and you came through every single time. What am I doing? I'm declaring that the past victories that we have already overcome now give birth and give weight to my future faith. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you are, because you've already done it. And if we're going to change the way that we think, we have to stop approaching difficult situations with an I don't know if he's coming mentality. Every single time he's coming. Can you hear me? Every single time. Here's the issue. We have to be okay with the way he comes. And if we're honest, most of the time when we get frustrated and we think he didn't show up, it's really just because he didn't do it like we wanted him to. That's a good word right there. You didn't do it like I thought you would. You didn't make me the knight in shining armor. You didn't exalt me above my peers. You didn't do it the way that I thought you would.
We got to move past that. We got to move. There's so many times that we get into situations and we don't know how we're going to make it. We don't know what's going on with the very next move. And at the end of the day, we can stand and literally lift our head to heaven and say, I have no idea why I'm here. I have no idea why you did it this way. It's okay to talk to God that way. It's okay to say, I don't know why you're doing it this way. I've said, I don't like it. You remember what Gideon did? Gideon said, if you're really the Lord of hosts and we're really your people and we're really all of these things, then where are all the miracles that you promised our fathers? Where are they? Because I'm not seeing them. Talking to the Lord of hosts. He's talking to a manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. And what does Jesus say in that moment? I love it. He's like, yeah, go in that might right there. What? Mighty man of valor. No. I just questioned you. Yeah, you did, but you know what you did? You actually informed your future faith that there were past miracles in other generations. You actually informed your faith that there were things that happened that even though it doesn't look like you want it to look right now, it is actually something that I can work with. And so if you'll have that faith and remember what I did back then you can go in that might. And what happened? He sent a dream into the camp of the enemy, and the enemy actually starts having a nightmare about Gideon before Gideon ever has to fight. I'm not trying to preach the whole Bible today. I really am trying to hurry. Past victories inform future faith. Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Psalm 103:2. This is a beautiful one right here. Forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefits. And then tag on a couple of verses later, because he has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. Every time you begin to believe that the Lord is disappointed with you and you missed it and you did all this stuff, go back to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and bless his holy name. Forget not his benefits, the one who heals us from all diseases, and the one who does not hold to my charge my iniquities. He has not dealt with, what does that mean? All of the stupidity that I did, even when I was trying to do it right, but did it wrong. He didn't deal with me according to my iniquity. And at some point, I have to allow that to inform my future faith, that he's not disappointed with me. Look here. If he's not going to be disappointed with Peter cussing out a little girl and saying he don't even know him, do you think he's going to be disappointed with you? But you know what? You've heard. I lived in a religious system where I thought at 7 I missed the rapture. Yeah. Walk in, can't find my parents, and I'm like, what could I have done at 7? But we make up these ideas, we make up these thought processes about things that become filters that we think through later in life. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you still call people to see if you missed the rapture. So Jesus actually asked the disciples in Mark chapter 8 after they start talking among themselves like we forgot bread. He's, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. He's mad because we have one loaf of bread and he's going to be hungry. And Jesus is like, how many baskets did you just take up? This was never about bread. It's about discipling your mindset. Here's why. Fear thrives in amnesia. Listen, fear thrives in amnesia. What am I saying? When I forget what he's done, when I forget how he brought me through, when I forget how he saved me and how he raised me, I'm serious, guys. And it's one thing for us to get happy in church and sing the song, when I think about the Lord. And it doesn't matter what version, whatever tempo you do it, when I think of his goodness, and what, or when I think about the Lord. It doesn't matter which one you do. Just tomorrow, think about the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Tuesday, when you have that thought and you don't have somebody on the keyboard backing you up while you're thinking it, still think about the Lord.
Are y'all okay? Okay. Jesus asked him, he's like, do you not remember what I just did? And then I love it. I love it. How is it that you don't understand? That's what Jesus says. How is it that you don't understand? And what's amazing is we didn't get anything from Peter right there. The one who always has something to say. Okay. Everybody say number four. I'm done. We have to break agreement with false foundations, false finish lines, and corrupt thought patterns. False foundations, false finish lines, and corrupt thought patterns. What's a false foundation? This is good, guys. A false foundation is a thought pattern that cannot remain firm under the weight of pressure. You know, another thing I teach to people all the time is you are not great at something until you can do it under pressure. You are not great until you can do it under pressure. And a false foundation or a thought pattern that is built on a false foundation will crumble under the weight of pressure. And we have to break agreement with those things. We have the mind of Christ. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal bodies. Number two, false finish lines. False finish lines are stopping points that were meant to be launch pads. That is so good. False finish lines are stopping points that were meant to be launch pads. That's why Paul could say these momentary afflictions are working for you a far greater weight of glory. You know what I say to that? If it's working for you and it is a trial and you don't like it, fire that thing. Fired. You're fired. You don't get to do that anymore. So that I can stand in the evil day. Do you know what the Greek is for that? What the definition? Day. Literally a 24-hour period. And Paul is saying, when these afflictions come, first of all, it's producing something in you that is far greater than what you're having to go through right now. And the second thing is, if it lasts longer than a day, it's trespassing. Fire it. Are y'all okay? These places are not stopping points. They're supposed to be launch pads. Can you hear me? We get so excited because we get to this one place and we're like, okay, I finally made it. No, that's not your stopping point. Ryan, how can you say that? You're breathing. That's how I can say it. You're still breathing. And there is more in you. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. There is more in you. And there is more territory to take for the kingdom of God. And if you are breathing, then that means that there is more. Don't stop and allow that to be a false finish line. Move forward and allow where you are right now to become a launching pad into what it is that God really wants you to do. Anyway. You got to break agreement with corrupt thought patterns. Thoughts that war against the renewed mind and are shaped by the patterns and ideals of the world's culture. You have to break agreement with those things. Listen, God never speaks through guilt and condemnation. He never speaks through shame. You need to hear that. God never speaks through fear. And if those things are bombarding your mind, you have to have something on the inside of you that allows you to say, that is not the voice of the Father. Here's the other thing I'm going to say. Well, I don't hear the voice of the Father. That is really unusual. It's really unusual. When my kids are on my everlast nerve and they come in and say, Dad, they still get a response. And if I, being an earthly man, know how to give good gifts to my kids, how much more does he know how to give good gifts to us? And so what I'm trying to tell you is that there may be blocks and there may be times and moments where it feels like, and we can use season right there because it is temporary. There may be seasons where you're not hearing the word of the Lord so clearly. It happened to Daniel, right, for 21 days.
And the angel finally comes through and he says, I was held up for 21 days by the prince of Persia. They were fighting it out because he didn't want this answer to come to you. And so, but I'm telling you, if it is a prolonged time, we're like, I just can't hear the voice of the Father. I can't hear the voice of the Father. You have to take some inventory and find out, first of all, have I put some headphones in where I can't hear him? Or am I in a place where I'm allowing other things to speak louder than him? Because it's really, really unusual for a father not to talk to his kid. There are times that he has spoken to me and I'll go back and say, okay, I need you to give me another word. I need you to give me another word. And sometimes the word is not something that I would love to hear. It actually sounds more like I need you to go and obey the first one that I gave you. Because sometimes the father has to do that as well. Is that okay? All right. So we're gonna break agreement with false foundations. We're gonna break agreement with false finish lines and corrupt thought patterns. Here's what I want to tell you. This is not original to me. I heard Bill Johnson say this, and it's beautiful. Every victory in the kingdom is eternal, and every defeat is temporary. That's so good. Every victory in the kingdom is eternal, and every defeat is temporary. Guys, if we're going to change our minds, and we're going to begin to think from the place of the mind of Christ, we're going to have to get out of this scarcity, survival mentality, always living in crisis mode. We're going to have to really believe that his word is true and that his principles are his automations. And that when I follow them and I do what he tells me to do, it's not that I'm doing some song and dance to get him to do something, right? Do you know that the five top philanthropists in the world, the five top philanthropists in the world, I'm talking about have given billions of dollars away. They can do that because they have billions of dollars. Not one of them professes Jesus. What are you saying? I'm saying his principles work when you work his principles. And if he's going to do it for people sowing and reaping, if he's going to do that for people who don't know him, I'm not kidding you. The first one, the person who has given the most money in history, he's given over $100 billion. He died a long, long time ago. He was into idolatry. Bill Gates identifies as an agnostic. He goes to a Catholic church, but he identifies as an agnostic. Soros, atheist. Warren Buffett identifies as an agnostic. And then there's another young man from India that is into idolatry. He's into Islam. Ryan, what are you saying? I'm saying he told us, if you sow, you will reap. And he's not just talking about money. I'm just using money because we all understand that concept. You've heard me tell, if you sow orneriness, you're going to reap orneriness. If you sow meanness, people are going to be mean to you. I can't believe you would say that. I didn't. The Bible said whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to begin to believe that these principles work. But if that's also true, then if I seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things are going to be added to me. Okay. Those principles are his automation. Past victories inform future faith, and we have to break agreement with false foundations, false finish lines, and corrupt thought patterns. Hallelujah. He's giving us a grace to transform our minds. He's giving us a grace to think differently. He's giving us a grace to walk in a level of discernment that when I read and I look at things that I know are contrary to the Word of God, I have the ability to dialogue with the Holy Spirit and not allow it to take me down a spiral because my thought process is not correct or I've created a pathway that doesn't allow me to think from the mind of Christ. Amen? He's healing our minds. Why don't you close your eyes? Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the power of your Word. God, I thank you that you're giving us a grace to see things differently. God, even though we live in a moment where the way that our brain is wired is that we see what we're prepared to see, you're giving us a grace to heal our mindsets.
You're giving us a grace to allow the brush of traveled pathways in our brain that has caused us to not see you correctly and to not hear you correctly and not believe that you are who you say you are and not believe that the way that you see me is through the lens of Jesus. You're giving me a grace to change the way that I think. Thank you, God, that the people under the sound of my voice, that you're bringing healing to our minds. You're bringing healing to past trauma that has caused us to think certain ways. You're bringing healing to relationships that have caused us to walk with wounds and open hurts. You're bringing healing to traumatic situations in workplaces, in business dealings, and in life. You are bringing healing to our minds and causing us, God, to think from the mind of Christ. And so we echo the words of Paul today. Let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Come on, if you want that, why don't you just put your hands out to receive that. Let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Heal my thoughts. Heal the filters that I've created and cause me to think like you. I bind every spirit of fear and release the spirit of wisdom and revelation right now in the name of Jesus, in the knowledge of him. I bind fear and command it to shut its mouth. I bind anxiety and command it to shut its mouth. I bind trauma and command it to shut its mouth right now. The power of the Holy Spirit flowing freely through us, through the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.